We are going to go to book of Joshua, chapter 16, and starting from verse 1.
And the lot of the children of Joseph fell from Jordan by Jericho unto the water of Jericho in the east, to the wilderness that goeth up from Jericho throughout Mount Bethel.
Now here he's talking about children of Joseph. Joseph's name is not given in 12 tribes because Joseph's two children were blessed by Jacob. Let's go to the Genesis chapter 48, verses 5 and 13 to 20. It's a long chapter, but we're going to read only a few verses.
And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine, as Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine.
13 to 20.
And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand, and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn, put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them in that day, saying, And these shall Israel bless, saying, God, make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh.
He decided to bless the younger one, but that's not our subject. Our subject is Joseph's name is taken it out, and now he's given to his two children. Later on, when we finish this book of Joshua, we will do a little bit study on 12 tribes. But here we see now Ephraim and Manasseh. These two people were blessed. Here is saying people we used to say, God will bless you like Ephraim and Manasseh. So you can see those people were really blessed. And they really multiply. And they were really strong warriors. So we will be seeing that. Okay, let's read. Go back to Joshua chapter 16, verse 2.
And goeth out from Bethel to Luz, and passeth along unto the borders of Archi to Adaroth, and goeth down westward to the coast of Japhleti, unto the coast of Beth-horon, the nether, and to Gezer, and the goings out thereof are at the sea. So the children of Joseph, Manasseh, and Ephraim took their inheritance. And the border of the children of Ephraim, according to their families, was thus. Even the border of their inheritance on the east side was Adaroth Adar, unto Beth-horon the upper. And the border went out toward the sea to Michmethah on the north side. And the border went about eastward unto Tanath-Shiloh, and passed by it on the east to Genoa. And it went down from Genoa to Adaroth, and to Narath, and came to Jericho, and went out at Jordan.
Okay, now this is just the border. You will be reading a little bit name in a different chapter, but this is just the border. He is talking about the Ephraim and Manasseh, verse 8.
The border went out from Tapua westward unto the river Kana, and the goings out thereof were at the sea. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Ephraim by their families. And the separate cities for the children of Ephraim were among the inheritance of the children of Manasseh, all the cities with their villages. And they drave not out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day, and serve under tribute.
We're great people. We'll be learning later on. They are great in number, so many warriors. But when they were coming to Canaan, and he says in the verse 10, they could not drive all these Canaanites. The word of God says that you should not allow anyone to be alive. And you see, only places we saw, Joshua took care of this Ai as well as Jericho, and those people were completely destroyed. Not a single person was breathing, the word of God says. But here, I was thinking why these great people could not take care of these Canaanites. And you will be learning in these chapters, many of these tribes could not destroy completely Canaanites. You will be learning. There is a reason for that. Let's go to the Genesis chapter 9 and read verses 24 and 25. You know the story about Noah. Noah, when he got drunk, and his youngest son came and saw his nakedness, and he told his two brothers, and then they came and backward and covered his nakedness. And when he was awake, and he came to know what Ham did, and he cursed him, not directly to him, but his his generation. Okay, please go and read. Genesis chapter 9, verse 24 and 25.
And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren.
So here is saying Canaan will be a servant to his brethren. And that's what we're seeing now. Even that they could not get rid of these Canaanites, but later on, they overpowered them and they made them servants. And so here's the chapter 16 finishes. We are going to go to chapter 17. Joshua chapter 17, starting from verse 1.
There was also a lot for the tribe of Manasseh, for he was the firstborn of Joseph, to wit, for Machir, the firstborn of Manasseh, the father of Gilead. Because he was a man of war, therefore he had Gilead and Bashan. There was also a lot for the rest of the children of Manasseh by their families, for the children of Abiezer, and for the children of Helek, and for the children of Asriel, and for the children of Shechem, and for the children of Hepher, and for the children of Shemida. These were the male children of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, by their families. But Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, had no sons but daughters, and these are the names of his daughters, Mahlah and Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. And they came near before Eleazar the priest, and before Joshua the son of Nun, and before the princes, saying, the Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our brethren. Therefore, according to the commandments of the Lord, he gave them an inheritance among the brethren of their father.
Okay. Now here we see, now in Manasseh's family, there is a one, his great-great-grandson didn't have any children. Means boys, all the girls. And they start asking Moses, this time is a Joshua time, but they went to Moses and says, sir, our father doesn't have any son. We are the daughters, so we should get inheritance. Moses didn't know what to do, so he went to the Lord. And God told him what to do. Go to the Numbers, chapter 27, verses 4 to 8.
Why should the name of our father be done away from among his family, because he hath no son? Give unto us therefore a possession among the brethren of our father. And Moses brought their cause before the Lord, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, the daughters of Zelophehad speak right. Thou shalt surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brethren, and thou shalt cause the inheritance of their father to pass unto them. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a man die and have no son, then ye shall cause his inheritance to pass unto his daughter.
Okay, now here we see the daughters, before that, all the daughters didn't get any inheritance. But these daughters, they were very smart and courageous. They went to Moses and they told him, listen, we need inheritance for us and we should be treated like son. Why should our father's name should vanish away? And so there was a law made then later on. If these ladies who are not having any husbands or anything and they are living with father, they will get inheritance. But in case they get married to the different tribes, they won't get any inheritance. They have to marry in the same tribe, then they will get inheritance. So here we see, the word of God says, we are all one in Christ. Christ's blessings comes to each and everyone when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But some of the translators who was translating Bible, they did not understand the meaning that God says, if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will be sons. And the people said, oh, that is the wrong translation. Just make a sons and daughters. Because they didn't understand sonships. When this girl, they understood, we need a sonship. We should be called sons. So when you are born again, child of God, you are a son of God. God doesn't have any grandchildren. He has only sons. He gave his son to die on the cross of Calvary. And because of Jesus Christ, he made us all sons. And in Christ, we got all the inheritance. What belonged to Jesus Christ is also belong to us. And he says, you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to take my son's spirit and give it to you. Read in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6.
And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
When Jesus Christ called his father, Abba, Father, it's a very deep relationship. And so he said, once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what I'm going to do, I'm going to make you equal to my son. I take his spirit and put it in your spirit. If you remember, in the Old Testament, God says, I will take your spirit, he said to Moses, and I'll put it on other 70 people. And so some people start thinking, taking the spirit from Moses and putting on somebody, that was not the Moses spirit. Because if you read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11, it says they had the spirit of Christ. So what God did, God took the spirit of Christ from Moses and put it on other people. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11.
Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify.
See, the Spirit of Christ was in them. All the prophets, that means starting from Enoch to John the Baptist, all the people had the Spirit of Christ. And people didn't know, even the Moses didn't know what kind of spirit he has. But God says, I'll take your spirit and give it to others. Now, same way, Jesus Christ has his own spirit called Spirit of Christ. So when you're born again, God gives you the same Spirit of Christ. And if you don't have that spirit, you cannot call yourself Christians. Read the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 9.
But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you cannot call yourself Christian. So what happens here, when you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or take Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God says, I'm going to give my Son's Spirit in you so you could call me Abba Father. Many people do not know this, many scholars do not know this. What the people are saying, when the Spirit of Christ is the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit, and they do not know the third person of Trinity, and they get mixed up. But here is very clear. Father says, I'll take the Son's Spirit. Son is called Christ. I'll take His Spirit and put it on you, so you become a Christian. And what the Son says, read the book of St. John chapter 14 and verse 23. Son says, and He is not coming alone, because He is always with Father. Father and Son, they are always together. They were only separated on the cross for a few seconds. But they were all together. What Jesus Christ is saying, I am going to bring my Father's Spirit. Please read.
Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him.
See, he says, if you love me, I'm going to bring my Father, and then we will come. He says, we will come and make our home in you. So what the Word of God is saying, there are so many people, so many denominations, and so many religions, they do not believe God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So they are missing this. God the Father says, if you believe my Son, I will give His Spirit to you. And the Son says, if you believe in me, and if you believe in God the Father, I will bring His Spirit and give it to you. And the Word of God says, if you have a Son, what you have? You have Son, you have Father also. But if you deny the Son, you cannot have Father. So that Muslim people said, God doesn't have Son. So what happened? They cannot have even Father. Jewish people said, God doesn't have a Son. So what? They cannot have Father. So if you have Son, you can have Father. Why? The Son says, I will bring the Father's Spirit and put it on you. So this is a unity. You have to have God the Son, God the Father, and then you can receive the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the God the Father, if you don't have God the Son, that means if you are not born again, you cannot get the Holy Spirit. But there are people are saying, we got the Holy Spirit before we can believe Father and Son. That is a wrong teaching. You will never receive the Holy Spirit until you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And the Holy Spirit will not come automatically. You have to ask for it. And so here we see these girls, very smart, and they wanted inheritance, and they got it. And so what they're coming and telling Joshua, do you know what the Moses and God says? So do it accordingly. Moses said it, God approved it, and now is the time, and we want our inheritance, and they got it. Okay, let's go back to the Joshua chapter 17, verse 5.
And there fell 10 portions to Manasseh beside the land of Gilead and Bashan, which were on the other side Jordan, because the daughters of Manasseh had an inheritance among his sons, and the rest of Manasseh's sons had the land of Gilead. And the coast of Manasseh was from Asher to Michmethah that lieth before Shechem, and the border went along on the right hand unto the inhabitants of En-Tapuah. Now Manasseh had the land of Tapuah, but Tapuah on the border of Manasseh belonged to the children of Ephraim. And the coast descended unto the river Kana, southward of the river. These cities of Ephraim are among the cities of Manasseh. The coast of Manasseh also was on the north side of the river, and the outgoings of it were at the sea. Southward it was Ephraim's, and northward it was Manasseh's, and the sea is his border. And they met together in Asher on the north and in Issachar on the east.
Manasseh and Ephraim, they were the children of Joseph. And we saw last time when the half tribe of Manasseh and Reuben and Gad, they have given the land other side of the Jordan River. And these people, they have to cross the Jordan River. And now Manasseh and Ephraim, they are together, half tribe of Manasseh and Ephraim. Now they are crossing the river and going. So here we see Joseph said, you will be very much blessed. And so now we want to see how much God blessed them. Go to the book of Numbers, chapter 26, and start reading from verse 28 to 34.
The sons of Joseph after their families were Manasseh and Ephraim. Of the sons of Manasseh, of Machir, the family of the Machirites, and Machir begat Gilead. Of Gilead come the family of the Gileadites. These are the sons of Gilead, of Jazer, the family of the Jazerites, of Helek, the family of the Helekites, and of Azrael, the family of the Azraelites, and of Shechem, the family of the Shechemites, and of Shemida, the family of the Shemidaites, and of Hefer, the family of the Heferites, and Zelophehad, the son of Hefer, had no sons but daughters, and the names of the daughters of Zelophehad were Mahla and Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. These are the families of Manasseh, and those that were numbered of them, 52,700.
52,700, just Manasseh's family. And read verse 37.
These are the families of the sons of Ephraim, according to those that were numbered of them, 32,500. These are the sons of Joseph after their families.
Okay, now how many? 32,500. So you total them, 85,200, only two tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh. And so you will be learning a little bit further. Let's go to the book of Joshua, chapter 17, starting from verse 11.
And Manasseh had an Issachar, and an Asher, Beth Shean and her towns, and Ibleam and her towns, and the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, and the inhabitants of Endor and her towns, and the inhabitants of Taanach and her towns, and the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, even the three countries.
Okay, verse 12.
Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land.
Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of the citizens of Canaanites. So, how much powerful army could not destroy the Canaanites? These Canaanites stayed there. So the point I'm making, all these people, great people, could not do the right job, and Canaanites were there. And we read the word of God in from Genesis chapter 9, because of Noah's younger son did some mischiefs, and because of that, his children, Canaanites, were cursed, even though they were not defeated, but they were slaves to each and every tribe. Okay, let's go back to the Joshua chapter 17 and starting from verse 14.
And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, forasmuch as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto? And Joshua answered them, If thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country, and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee.
These great people could not do the job properly, and now they're saying, Oh, you give us a very little land. We need a more land. Now, Ephraim and Manasseh is the children of Joseph. And if you want to know, Joshua comes from the tribe of Ephraim. Joshua was not an ordinary man, because of Joseph's blessing was also on Joshua. And so the Joshua is saying, hey, you are great people and you need more land, so you have to get rid of these parasites and all other these giants and move on. They were thinking Joshua is our relative. When we complain to Joshua, Joshua will give us free land. Joshua said, Sir, I cannot give you anything. You have to earn it. You have to do it yourself. So let's see what happens, verse 16.
And the children of Joseph said, The hill is not enough for us and all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley of Chariots of Iron, both they who are of Beth Shean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, Thou art a great people, and thou hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only. But the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong.
Now here Joshua is saying, listen, you got a little land. He said, you got only one lot. You want more? I told you, you have to go and defeat those giants. And they said, oh, but those people have iron chariots. And those people are living in the jungle, all the wood country. Joshua said, you said it. We are great people, so do the great job. Some people want everything on a platter. Because my father is a rich man, also, so I don't have to work. Let my father give it to me. So here he's saying, don't look at me. I'm a Joshua, Ephraim's, coming from Ephraim's family. I have the privilege to give the land, but you have to earn it. You have to go and defeat. See what happens when there's so many chariots and so many horses came. What Joshua did? God says, get rid of all the chariots, make those horses disabled, and all the armies will be yours. And say, destroyed everything and all the silver and gold and everything Israeli people got. These people already saw this miracle. They saw how Joshua and Israeli people defeated the enemy. But now they want everything on a platter. These are over. Those people are having iron chariots. We cannot defeat them. But he says, don't think they are strong. We are much stronger than them. Because God has called us with a definite high calling. We are afraid of devil. We are afraid of enemy. We say, oh, devil is more powerful. I tell you, the devil is no powerful. He is defeated. He has no power. He is powerless. But he is acting like a roaring lion. He is not a lion. We have the Lion of Judah in our sight. So we have to act like a strong. If somebody is the mayor's son, he said, my father is a mayor. If you are a governor's son, my father is a governor. If you are the king's son, he said, my father is a king. Who are we? We just said we are the sons of God. God is the creator of everything. If my father is God, that means I have everything. Because my father is God. God has everything. And we have to just believe that if we love our Father, Father will give everything what he has. So these people start complaining. Joshua said, hey, be strong. Those people are strong, I know, but you have to do something. And that finishes the chapter 17. We go to the Joshua chapter 18.
And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them.
They coming to the Shiloh, and the land is subdued. People are not fighting with Joshua, so they thought this is a good place, and they put the tabernacle of God. So from there, they can worship, and a priest can give them advice. And from there become like a spiritual center. And so they put the tabernacle there. When the King David came, that's the time he wanted moving to a different place. So let's go on Joshua chapter 18, starting from verse 2.
And there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not yet received their inheritance.
Now here is saying there are seven more tribes did not get the inheritance. What Joshua is saying to those people, verse 3.
And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you?
Now there are seven tribes did not get the inheritance, and they are thinking, well, Joshua will give it to us. Now here is the law a little bit changed. Before that, the people were defeated and the land was divided, and now everybody got the land. But now there is a more land is there, and they have to conquer the land. And Joshua is getting old. God said, Joshua, you're getting too old. So now you cannot fight. So what you have to tell these young people, you go and fight and you get your own land. These people were sitting and thinking, well, we don't have a land. If you remember, Moses said to the children of Ephraim and Manasseh and Reuben and Gad, you know what, you people want to stay this side of river, that's okay. But you have to go and fight the enemy and come, and until the war is over and everybody gets the land, you cannot go back. So now these people are seven tribes are sitting there thinking, children of Manasseh and Gad and Reuben will fight for us and we don't have to do anything. So here he's saying, you are lazy. You are so lazy. God already promised you the land. When God promised you something, then you have to get it. Now, God already sent his son, Jesus Christ, into this world. What the word of God says? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, what the people are saying, hey, God so loved the world and God sent his son. Son died, so the whole world is blessed. So we don't have to do anything. We are automatically saved. It doesn't work that way. He said you have to come to him and ask for it. Even though it is free, you have to do something. If you don't get it, you will not get automatically. God so loved the world, but the world is not saved yet. But the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient for the whole world. Only thing he said, you have to receive it. He said, God has already promised you the land. But you have to go and get it. The land is not coming in your lap. You have to go to the land and get it. And so see what they are doing. Verse 4. Joshua chapter 18, verse 4.
Give out from among you three men for each tribe, and I will send them, and they shall rise and go through the land and describe it according to the inheritance of them. And they shall come again to me, and they shall divide it into seven parts. Judah shall abide in their coast on the south, and the house of Joseph shall abide in their coasts on the north. You shall therefore describe the land into seven parts, and bring the description hither to me, that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord our God.
Okay, now Joshua said, listen, I want three people from each tribe. Now, how many tribes were remaining? Seven tribes. So each tribe, three people, how many people? 21 people will be going to see the land. Now, somebody will say, Moses sent only 12 people to see the land. And how many days it took? 40 days it took to see the land. But now he's saying, listen, I'm going to send three people from each tribe, 21 people going and looking in the land. And then what you're going to do, you are going to not only looking the land, you have to draw the map. You have to describe the area and make a map. And when you come back with a map, then I will divide the land. How? With the lot. Okay, verse 7.
But the Levites have no part among you, for the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance. And Gad and Reuben and half the tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance beyond Jordan on the east, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them.
Now here he's saying, you don't have to worry about the Reuben. You don't have to worry about Gad. You don't have to worry about half tribe of Manasseh. You don't have to worry about even the Levites. This is your land. You go and get it. And when you travel all the areas and get the map and everything, bring it to me, and then he will say, okay, now this land will divide it. And you have to then fight with those enemy and get that land. So now these people already went, and those people are not ordinary. They might have knowledge to how to draw the map. Everybody cannot make a map. So they have to go and bring the map. And here it says they even the make a big book. Those days they were not books, they were scroll. So, but they made the book and they came back. Okay, keep on reading from verse 8.
And the men arose and went away, and Joshua charged them that went to describe the land, saying, Go and walk through the land, and to describe it, and come again to me, that I may here cast lots for you before the Lord in Shiloh. And the men went and passed through the land, and described it by cities into seven parts in a book, and came again to Joshua to the host at Shiloh.
So now they made a book. That means it was not a little land. Making a book for all the cities and all the map. And so they made all the big map and came back to Joshua. Verse 10.
And Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord. And there Joshua divided the land unto the children of Israel according to their divisions. And the lot of the children of the tribe of the children of Benjamin came up according to their families, and the coast of their lot came forth between the children of Judah and the children of Joseph. And their border on the north side was from Jordan, and the border went up to the side of Jericho on the north side, and went up through the mountains westward, and at the goings out thereof were at the wilderness of Beth-Aven. And the border went over from thence toward Luz, to the side of Luz, which is Bethel, southward, and the border descended to Adarath-Adar, near the hill that lieth on the south side of the nether Beth-Horon. And the border was drawn thence, and compassed the corner of the sea southward, from the hill that lieth before Beth-horon southward. And the goings out thereof were at Kirjath-Baal, which is Kirjath-Jearim, a city of the children of Judah. This was the west quarter. And the south quarter was from the end of Kirjath-Jearim, and the border went out on the west, and went out to the well of waters of Nephtoah. And the border came down to the end of the mountain that lieth before the valley of the son of Hinnom, and which is in the valley of the giants on the north, and descended to the valley of Hinnom, to the side of Jebusai on the south, and descended to En-Rogel.
Now, here it says Jebusi. Here did not give the meaning, but when you go to the verse 28, that Jebusi became Jerusalem, and the Luz became Bethel. Okay, verse 17.
And was drawn from the north, and went forth to En-Shemesh, and went forth toward Geliloth, which is over against the going up of Adumim, and descended to the stone of Bohan, the son of Reuben, and passed along toward the side over against Araba northward, and went down unto Araba, and the border passed along to the side of Beth-Hogla northward, and the outgoings of the border were at the north bay of the Salt Sea, at the south end of Jordan. This was the south coast. And Jordan was the border of it on the east side. This was the inheritance of the children of Benjamin by the coasts thereof round about, according to their families.
Okay, now here up to now, we got all the borders of the Benjamins, but they did not give in details of the cities. So when you're reading from verse 20 to 28, they're giving all the names of the cities. But this is the tribe of Benjamin, and when you see in the all the Israeli 12 children of Israel, and I don't know why the Benjamin's name is here, but if you read in a chapter 19, then other tribes' names are given. But here we see, let's finish and then I'll talk to you. Verse 21.
Now the cities of the tribe of the children of Benjamin, according to their families, were Jericho and Beth-Hogla and the valley of Keziz, and Beth-Araba and Zemaraim and Bethel, and Avim and Parah and Ophrah and Chephar Hamoni and Ophni and Gaba, 12 cities with their villages, Gibeon and Ramah and Beeroth and Mizpah and Shephira and Moza and Rechem and Irpeel and Tarla, and Zela, Eleph and Jebusai, which is Jerusalem, Gibeath and Kirjath, 14 cities with their villages. This is the inheritance of the children of Benjamin according to their families.
Okay, now we finish the even chapter 18 and Benjamin's family, all the cities they got. But even if you read that, Benjamin also did not get rid of Canaanites. And I was studying, and maybe I'm going to wait until this book is finished. This book will be finishing within 2 weeks. But we will be studying that many of the tribes did not get rid of Canaanites. And God already told them, I'm going to give you the land when the milk and honey flows. Before the Jordan cross, Reuben, Gad, and half tribe of Manasseh, they did not have any problems because they did not keep any giants there and all the people were destroyed. But still, it says in the chapter 11, there are three giants in a Gad, the giants were there, but it was not in the area. They kicked them out from that area and they went to other places. So the point I'm making, God gave these people, the leaders, Moses conquered this other land before the Jordan. That time Moses was not a young man. He was an old man, but he fought with the enemies and killed the giants before the passing the Jordan. And when these people saw the beautiful land, Reuben and Gad and half a tribe of Manasseh say, I want this land. But still they have to put the lots and get the land for 2.5 tribes. Whatever they asked, they didn't get it accordingly. And when we were studying, I thought this Reuben also did something wrong to his father. So he was also cursed. So he did not get the very best land. Only the best land people got who are blessed by God. So the point I'm making here, all these people traveling from Egypt came to this land. 40 years they traveled. 40 years there's so many people. The people who were fighting and murmuring and doing something wrong, those all people died. Only two people, Joshua and Caleb. And we saw the Caleb said, listen, I am 85 years old, but give me that mountain and I am going to destroy all those, the giants. And when I was studying that, they destroyed so many giants that still some giant were there because his children could not take care of those. So the point I'm making, why this thing happening to this Israeli people? One thing I told you, because that was the word of God, that Canaanites will be servants of the children of God. So each and every tribe, they were Canaanites, but they were serving the children of God. We will be studying 2 more weeks about the tribe of Israel, how they got the land. But pretty soon, enemy is going to attack. Why? Because sometimes some Christian, some people say, okay, I'm born again, I'm a child of God, but the certain things I used to do, I do not want to give up. When you come to Jesus Christ is all-sufficient God. You do not need anything which is not belong to God and God hates. We have to believe that if I'm a born-again child of God, whatever I need, He will supply. I don't have to have old friends. Somebody says, okay, I'm born again, but this other person is my friend, so I'm not going to marry, but it's just a friend. I want to just be friendship with them, and someday that person can come to the Lord. That's a good thought. But the Bible says, do not unequally yoke. God does not say that God cannot give you new friends. God can give you new friends. God can give you new blessings. You do not have to have the old habit, old friend. I already told the other day, one lady came to our church and she said, you know what, God gave me victory over drugs and everything, but He told me you can have a cigarette. Our God is not going to say that. But the people just think that this is not harmful. I can keep it. And so if you keep old friend, old habit, old wine in your house, he said, I don't drink it, but you know, it's just a very precious old wine and I'm just keeping it. Keeping it for what? Keeping it just for if some friend comes or some relative comes, I want to serve them. I go and tell somebody, oh, come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and people give their heart, and I say, do you have any cigarette in your house or anywhere? They said, yes, I have. So they bring it. And I take them and throw it out. And some people said, oh, I don't have it, but there is one little packet, and I'm going to throw it out when I go home. I said, no, bring it here. But they don't throw it. And what happens? They start slowly smoking. And so we have to give up. Bible says, if you vomit, you don't take it back. So the same way, if you give up some bad habits, don't take it back. If you start taking back the old thing, it will ruin your life. That's what happened to the children of Israel. They did not get rid of some of the enemies, and those enemies became thorn in their flesh. So here we see all the tribes of Israel. Some of them were lazy, like Joshua said. He said, oh, well, we didn't get the land, and how are we going to get our land? And everybody got the land. He said, listen, God has promised you the land. You have to work hard, and you have to get it. What the Bible says, if you don't work, you cannot eat. And so Joshua said, hey, lazy people, God already promised the land. You cannot sit here, and some other people go and fight and give you free land, and you have to go cut down the trees. You have to go get rid of that iron chariot. You have to go get rid of the giants, and then you will have the land. So point I'm making, if you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you have to surrender everything to Him and say, Lord, what can I do for you? The people want church to do something for them, God to do something for them, and they don't want to do anything for God. They don't want to do anything for the church. They don't want to do anything, and they want everything free. Jesus Christ has redeemed us from what? Curse of the law. So we are not under the curse. Once you believe Jesus Christ, the curse is gone. All the sickness and disease should be gone. And some people do not want the sickness and disease to be gone, because if the sickness and disease is gone, then the government money is gone. God is our source. We have to trust in God, not in Moses, not in Joshua, not in Ephraim, not in Manasseh, God. God is our source, and He supplies our need. Shall we rise? I believe our God is all-sufficient God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. Thank You for giving us grace. So, Lord, we call upon You. Your people are suffering. Our God says, call upon Me, and I'll answer you. Our God is a prayer-answering God. Bless us, O Lord, and use us mightily for the glory of God. We commit ourselves into Your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.